Welcome to worship. This is a time of gathering, of praise, and of connection. Whether you are a guest, a regular attender, whether you are online or in person, we are grateful to have you with us this morning. I am Reverend Corrine Boriff, and assisting in leading worship today will be Pastor Brian White, Ryan Falkenberry, and Tim Klein. Our music will be offered by our guest musicians, and we are thrilled to have them with us this morning, the Anderson Area Children's Choir and Youth Chorale, their directors and accompanist. We welcome them, and let us offer our welcome to them now as we praise God. Our Lenten Breakfast Series begins Saturday, February 21st at First Presbyterian Church. There are dates out in the narthex. Those are correct. The dates that were published in The Voice are not correct. So be sure you check your dates. They are Saturdays, and you want to show up at the right place at the right time. So check those out before you go. Our 200 envelopes will continue. This is a fundraiser for family ministry. There's an opportunity for everyone to participate throughout this month. If you take an envelope, those go back to Alley Hall. If you drop it in an offering plate, it will go to Alley. I'll make sure of that. So we will get that those donations to her. And want to thank those of you that have already given, and there's opportunity yet to give, so check that out as well. All church Lenten studies will begin this month. Next Sunday, we have the joy of hosting Rachel Billups, the author of our study that we are using, An Unlikely Lent. She will kick that off for us. We have 6 study groups. You are encouraged to sign up. However, if you're a part of mine, you don't have to sign up. Just come. We will join together with whomever comes. The times and locations for each of the studies is out in the narthex, so you can check that out as well. There are also books there that you can pick up if you would like to have one of those books. If you can donate the cost of that, return that to the church, we would appreciate it, but it's not required. We don't want that to prohibit anybody from joining us in study. Our Joy Lunch returns this month. It will be February 20th. Dwayne Landwehr will present to the group this month on the Second Continental Congress. Make your reservations for that special event by the 18th of this month. Jesus called all his followers to make disciples. At Anderson First United Methodist Church, we make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Let us stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
I'd like to invite you to stand as you are able for this morning's call to worship, which is printed on your bulletin, or you can follow along on the screen. We gather as God's beloved children, however glad we are, however out of sorts. We come together as a people whom Jesus calls into community. We have come to give thanks, to pray and sing, to be with others. Let us worship the God we adore.
Good morning. Miss Ali has asked me to speak about what family ministry means to me. Family ministry is very important to me as I've been involved in it for my entire life. And one thing I wanted to share about it and that I'm currently involved in is the youth group. Every 2 weeks we get together, eat lunch, play games, and have a lesson about the Bible and God. It's always a blast. The 200 envelopes and the money raised from it would help the youth group so that we can keep having fun and having the lessons about the Bible and God. I really hope that the youth group can continue to flourish and gain new members, and that we can continue to just have a blast every 2 weeks. I'd like to thank Sally for letting me share about what it means to me, and God bless all of you. please join me in prayer? Jesus, our hearts are filled with gratitude for the abundant blessings you give us each day. We acknowledge that cheerful giving is not an obligation, but a joyful act of worship. Help us understand that our giving is an expression of our deep love for you and our want to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
Thank you, members of the choir. That was beautiful. I noticed that the final tune you're going to sing is Siya Humba, which is a South African song. I first heard that in 1999 at Central Methodist Church in Johannesburg, South Africa. And it is a wonderful exclamation of peace and freedom. So I look forward to hearing you sing that at the end of the service as well. My name is Pastor Brian White. I want to invite you to a time of prayer, and I'd like to invite us first to a time of silent prayer in which we offer our silent petitions to God and invite God to speak into our hearts and minds. Then I will lead us in a pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. So let us be in silent prayer together. Almighty God, through the testimony of those who know your love, you have guided us to ask for what we need. Our Lord Jesus called his disciples to live as a city on a hill and a lamp on a stand, that all may see the glory of God. We pray for the church, the community of disciples. Grant that we who claim the name of Christ may shine as light into our dark world. We pray for those who serve the church. Let our pastors, teachers, and those who minister in the name of Christ forsake worldly knowledge that perishes and be led by your truth. We pray for our world, for the governments, and for our government's leaders. May all who rule honor justice and compassion and serve the common good, that the people may flourish. We pray for the sick, the hungry, the poor, the homeless, and those who are oppressed. Let your church minister to those in distress and bear witness to your abiding compassion for all who suffer. To you, O God, we pray through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. And together we lift our voices in the prayer that Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 13. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have sacrificed the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Please stand as you're able. The gospel is from Luke 11, verses 5 through 13. Then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up, and I don't have a thing on hand. The friend answered from his bed, don't bother me. The door is locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't give up to give you anything. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's what I am saying. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you won't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
Well, I want to welcome you on this National Day of Prayer. Well, it's not officially a National Day of Prayer. It's not been condoned or presented by any denomination or any government. However, on this Sunday, there are more prayers heavenward than any other Sunday of the year. Super Bowl Sunday, right? We have prayers going up for whether you're a Seahawks fan or a Patriots fan, by the players themselves, the coaches, the family members, investment brokers, and probably bookies, and, of course, the fans. But I invite you to not base your prayer life on the Super Bowl or on any football game, for that matter. You see, prayer is very different than that. We have those prayers, we might refer to them as arrow prayers, these little prayers that we shoot up to heaven and hope that we get the results we're asking for. You prayed them. Oh, Lord, help me pass this math test I didn't study for, right? Or you might have prayed, Lord, help me, Jesus, help me find a job. And then we have that, which one I kind of prayed these past few weeks has been, Lord, help me keep the car on the road, right? Those shots up into the air. And those we have, those are very different than the prayer that Jesus is talking about. So what is this prayer? I mean, we offer those prayers up into heaven, and we expect to get answers, but sometimes we become very frustrated. Because odds are, most of the time when you offer those, you don't get the results you think you deserve to get. You don't hear from God. It's kind of like ringing the doorbell on an empty house, right? There was, for example, a painter who, it was a neighbor who offered to help his neighbor paint their exterior of their house. And the neighbor was going to be gone for a day, but the painter said, you know, I'll just go ahead anyway. Well, he knew the family routine kind of, and they had this dog that was in the house. And the dog would make his way to the back door and bark. And that was the clue. He would bark until someone would let him out. Well, the painter reported that the dog barked all day long. And it was like it didn't get through to his little dog head that there was nobody in the house. Nobody to answer his bark. And that's how we feel sometimes when we offer prayers to God. We feel like there's nobody listening. Or maybe we're one of those that thinks, maybe I just don't know how to pray. Maybe I'm not doing it right. I mean, maybe I need something special. I need to be in a special place. I need to belong to the right church. I need to belong, maybe sing the right song. Maybe have the right words to say. I just don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't have that right combination and formula of prayer to pray. And so we become very skeptical. There was a monk in a monastery. They're few and far between now. There are more in other countries, but there are some here in the United States still. And this monk was the elderly monk of the monastery. He had what were called his disciples. They lived together. They're a praying group of folks. And so he, in his prayer chamber, he was just constantly being distracted by mice, of all things. So he decided to get a cat. And the cat would go with him into the prayer room, and it kind of scared away the mice. So he didn't have that problem anymore. But he didn't tell the rest of his disciples why he had a cat. And he noticed that as he walked down the corner of the monastery after a week or so, every prayer room had a cat. You see, his disciples thought, oh my gosh, that is the secret to having powerful prayer. Well, folks, there you go. Adopt a cat. But no, that's not what God is looking for. How do we pray? How do we do that? Well, the one that has the best answer for us is God himself through Jesus Christ. And we hear about that. In the Gospel according to Luke, we hear 15 different references to Jesus praying. I mean, he prayed constantly. He prayed when he was called by God. He prayed before he called the disciples to follow him. He prayed when he was serving and healing. He prayed during the frustrations and the conflict that he had in ministry. He prayed going toward the cross. He prayed when his work was done on the cross. Jesus prayed and depended on prayer just as much as he depended on the breath he breathed. And Jesus' disciples noticed this. And we hear this in this passage in Luke, Luke 11. You know, the disciples noticed that Jesus prayed a little different than other Jewish people. I mean, he prayed all the time. And so they asked him about it, and they wanted to know how to pray. And so Jesus gives them a lesson. Gives them a very powerful lesson. In verses 5 through 8, he talks about the man who just knocks constantly on the door at night. You know, just constantly wanting something. And what Jesus is teaching them is that effective prayer, our prayer, their prayer, our prayer, prayer to God needs to be continual. It needs to be persistent. It needs to be a continual connection to God. That's what Paul meant when he said, pray continuously. Pray all the time. He's talking about this continual connection with God. And Jesus goes on to say in verses 9 and 10 that we are to pray continually. We are to ask and seek and knock on the door, and God will answer. God answers prayer. It's what he tells his disciples, is what he's telling us today. God is answering prayer, our prayers, when we go to God continually, when we stay in connection with God all the time. God answers those prayers, and we will be rewarded. We also hear one of the most important and most effective pieces about prayer that we hear in Scripture. In verses 11 and 13, Jesus tells his disciples, including us, that not only are we to be persistent in our prayers, that God will answer our prayers, but when we go to God in prayer, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the power of God in our lives. That just seems impossible, doesn't it? The God who created the entire universe, everything that we know, everything in the past, everything present, everything that is yet to come, God has created it, and yet God is focused on our one person, on those prayers that we pray. God loves you that much, sends the Holy Spirit to love you, to guide you, to empower you, to watch over you, to protect you, to do those things that we pray for in a relationship with God. God sends the Holy Spirit to us. It's a powerful connection. To the outsider, someone who doesn't understand prayer, it's going to look very different. Another true story, a priest in San Francisco, he always traveled around town with his dog in the back seat, a little terrier. And when he would go in to make visits wherever he had to visit, he would leave the dog in the car, in the back seat, and the dog would lay down. And from an observer on the sidewalk, they didn't see the dog. It was just laying down in the back of the car. Well, the priest got out. If you've ever been to San Francisco, you know some of the streets are like this. They're very steep. And he parked on one of those. And he got out of the car and he slammed the door and he said, "Stay!" Well, an observer on the sidewalk kind of chuckled and said, "You know, it works best if you've set the parking brake." That's how prayer looks to people who don't understand a connection with God. But we are called to connect to God. A woman was asked one time, "What do you gain by continually praying?" And she said, "Nothing. But this is what I've lost. I've lost anger. I've lost impatience. I've lost hopelessness. I've lost weakness. I've lost all those things that I didn't need to have in my life." Prayer, this continual connection to God, changes us. Changes us so that when we go to God, we're not going to God to ask what we, God, to fill what we need. We're going to God to seek what God says that we need. God answers every prayer. Now, I want you to just be reminded what Jesus did not say in this passage. He did not say that every prayer will be answered just the way you ask it. He did not say that every prayer that you pray will turn out just the way you want it to. There was someone that once said, God answers prayer four ways. Yes, no, wait, and you've got to be kidding. We have a God that loves you so much, the creator of the universe, that wants you and your heart to be connected to our God through the Holy Spirit. And that's what prayer does. That is the power of prayer. Let us pray. God, we come to you with humble hearts and joyful spirits, knowing that you hear every prayer that we offer. Thank you for gifting to us the Holy Spirit, not just sometimes, but every time our hearts come to you. Amen. Let us sing together, "Every Time I Feel the Spirit." us stand to receive the benediction. I leave you today with an acronym that I invite you to join me in redefining. ASAP. Take that with you. Always say a prayer. Amen.